Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Ephesians chapter 4 once again. We started this series, well, I think, 6 weeks ago in Ephesians 4, and we are still in Ephesians 4, and we're slowly working our way through it, and I think there's light at the end of the tunnel. I'm just not sure how far down the tunnel the light is, because it just seems like every week as I dive into it, I'm planning on attacking more sets of scriptures, and then I start reading, and I realize, okay, I guess this is enough for this week. And so we're just kind of working our way through it. But we are in Ephesians 4, continuing through our series. A few weeks ago, we kind of changed the title of our series, and we are now in a section called In the Light. And we talked about God's desire for us to walk in the light. One, he wants us to be light, right? We are called to let our light shine, to be his light. But there's also something about being in the light. Because when we're in the light, it allows the light to shine on our lives and expose those areas of darkness in our life. A couple weeks ago, we talked about putting off the old self and putting on the new, and that's allowing God to expose those old areas of our life and so we can put them off and put on the new. Last week, we began to identify some of those characteristics of the old self that we may find in us. As we continue to grow in our relationship with the Lord, we continue to find these characteristics and things in our life that are still lingering of the old self, and Paul's telling us we need to shed those and put on the new self. And so we're going to continue to dive into his word. Last week we talked about lying, we talked about anger, and this week we're going to dive into one more topic as we're going to touch on one scripture this week. Just one scripture, Ephesians 4:28, and I had planned on doing a few more, like I said, and this was full of stuff this week, and so don't get excited that our message is going to be any shorter, because that's why I didn't go on, because I wanted you guys to, you know, be able to get lunch sometime today. So, but there's a lot of good stuff here in Ephesians 4:28, and we're gonna dive into it this morning. So if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. It says this: He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Once again, in just one scripture, Paul hits on so many different things. And the cool thing that I like about this scripture right here this morning is that Paul tells us what we need to put off, but he also then follows it up with what we need to put on in its place. Because as we put things off, the things of the world, God's desire is that we'd fill those things with the things of him. And so the first thing right off the bat that Paul confronts us with, that he wants us to put off, to shed, is stealing. He tells us to steal no more. Paul is speaking to the thief in all of us. Okay? Because of our sinful nature, there's something in us that naturally wants to take things. The sinful nature in us naturally wants things, and a lot of times, things that aren't ours, right? I want that. We start as a little kid, I want that, I want that. And the sinful nature desires to have these things, especially, it seems to get even stronger when we're told we can't have them, right? When you're told you can't, but I want it. And there's this drive, this sinful nature inside of us. I learned this at a young age. At the age of 4, I learned about this. I was born in Santa Rosa, California, lived there till I was 6. So we were, at the age of 4, I still lived in California. And right around the corner from us was a grocery store called Lucky's. I don't know if they still have those in California. Some do. I know some areas when I was in San Diego, they were going out of business. But there was a store called Lucky's that we used to shop frequently at. And I remember I was 4 years old, and we had done our shopping. I'd done the shopping with my mom. And like usual, as you come up to the check stand, what's right there at the check stand? All these wonderful things that kids want, right? The candy, the gum, and all these things. And I remember there was Trident gum there, you know. They didn't have as many choices as you have nowadays, you know. It was like Trident, Dentine, maybe Bubble. I don't even think at that time Bubble Yum was around. I don't know. You didn't have many choices. But there was some Trident bubble gum there, and I remember saying, "Mom, can I have some gum?" And her response was, "No, we don't have the money for that gum." So I'm sitting there thinking, okay, but if I put it in my pocket, we don't have to pay for it. So what did I do? I grabbed it and I put it in my pocket. And now I wasn't trying to be, you know, whatever. It's just this nature in us to take things that aren't ours. And so we get home and I say, "Hey, Mom, look. Look what I got. We didn't even have to pay for it." "What did you do?" You know, "Wait till your father gets home." And sure enough, Dad gets home and I get in trouble. And he drives me back to the store. I have to go to the store manager and I have to tell him that I stole this gum and give it back to him. It was humiliating I never stole again the rest of my life, right? No, it's a sinful nature. And it's our sinful nature. We learn it at this young age. It desires to take things. We want things, especially those things that aren't ours. And Paul here, as he's speaking to these new Christians, he knew that stealing was common culture at this time. One of the most common places, actually, that stealing took place in this time was in what was called their bathhouses. These wealthy people would come to bathe, and they would, you know, obviously remove their clothing, and their stuff would stay out while they were bathing, and people would come and steal their garments and steal their stuff as they were bathing. As I was studying, it said that this was one of the most common crimes in any of the Greek cities at this time. Stealing was a way of life for many of them. Many of them, that's how they survived, was stealing and taking from others. And Paul knew that this was not the way of life for a follower of Jesus. If you're going to live your life for Jesus, this is not the life now that you need to be living. Paul is saying here, you're better than that. Put off this old self. You need to stop stealing. You need to stop taking from others. And you need to become an honest worker, is what Paul says. He says, stop stealing and instead begin to work hard. Because that's what stealing is. It's a shortcut, right? It's like, I don't want to have to work for that, so I'm just going to take it. That's what it is. So Paul's saying, no. We're going to put on this new here. You're not going to steal anymore. Instead, you're going to be an honest worker and you're going to work for stuff. You're not going to steal stuff. It's not God's desire for our life. But then Paul says something really, really interesting here. When you look at the scripture, he doesn't say, stop stealing, become an honest worker so you can support yourself, so you can buy things for you. He doesn't say that. Now, that would be fine, right? It's okay to work hard and to buy things for ourselves, but that's not what Paul says here. He says, stop stealing, become an honest worker. Why? So that you can share with those in need, so you can give to those in need. So you can give to those who are less fortunate than you. Wow. What a contrast here, okay? Between stealing, taking, right, from someone else, to then working hard and giving to others. Paul's asking a huge thing here, to go from this to this, to go from a thief to a philanthropist in reality when you look at it. That's what Paul is asking them to do. And as you look at these scriptures, there's a lot of stuff packed into this one scripture, into this one sentence. I mean, it's about stealing. It's about working hard. It's about community. It's about giving and stewardship. There's all sorts of things that you can pull out of these scriptures. But as I talked about last week, that we value God's word, one of the things I love to do before I even start is just read his word and just pray and seek the Lord and ask the Lord, just kind of speak to me. What are you speaking to me in this? And before I looked at the background of these scriptures, before I, you know, really studied these scriptures, is I just read these scriptures. And as I looked at the contrast between what Paul was asking to go from stealing to this, there were two words that the Lord immediately impressed upon my heart. The two words were selfishness and selflessness. Because this is really, when you look at the scripture, what it comes down to. The person who steals is living a life of selfishness. It's all about them. It's taking what they want, right, to satisfy their needs. And usually, or always, at the expense of someone else. When you steal, you're taking from someone else, someone that maybe has worked hard for that, and you've just robbed them of that. You're taking at the expense of other people. And we can make all excuse on that. I remember when I worked at Albertsons and I'd walk by and steal out of the candy thing, you know, out of the bulk foods. And, oh, it's big company. They don't care. They don't lose anything. Still stealing at the expense. You wonder how much money they lose from workers taking from their bulk food, right? It's selfishness, though. It's taking at the expense of others. It's meeting our needs, what we want. But on the flip end, working hard to give to others, that's selflessness. Selflessness. This is the new, as we talk about putting off the old and putting on the new. This is the new that God wants us to put on, where we come to the realization that the world doesn't revolve around us, that the world doesn't just exist for us. I hope I don't offend anybody by what I'm about to say here, and if I do, I apologize up front. But the reality is this, that if you walked out that door today and were hit by a car, the world would not cease to exist. It's true. The world would not stop. Yes, it would be a tragedy, as it is for when anyone dies. Yes, we would be sad. There would be people who would be sad. Yes, there would be mourning, as we do with anyone that passes. But guess what? The world would go on. Life would go on, as it has. Throughout the years, many people have come into this world and died, but life goes on. Because contrary to what we may think at times, life isn't just about us. You see, we live in a world, we live in a society that thinks that at times, that's so often about itself. What can I get out of this world? What's in it for me? But the reality is they've got it all wrong. They've got it all wrong. It's like what I read a few weeks ago where Paul told us, that's not you, that's the life of the Gentile. He says, that's not God's desire for your life. That's not what God has for you. No, you're different. We are called to live differently. Remember, that was the title of my message. That's not the life that God has for us. We weren't created for ourselves to be selfish people. That's not God's desire for us. That's not why we were created. We were created by God, for God, as I read earlier, to glorify Him, right? We were created for Him. We were created to have relationship with God and to have relationship with one another. And one of our sole purposes as followers of Christ is to be a witness to others, to selflessly lead others to Him. To lead others to Him. It's about Him. We can never make it about us. You know, every Sunday I'm blown away by what's happening at this church. I told you I never expected to have numbers like this in our first months, honestly. I mean, I figured maybe 6, 7, 8 months down the road possibly, but I never expected what God was doing. God's doing amazing things in this church, and it blows me away. But let me just set something straight right now. It has nothing to do with me and Stacy. It doesn't. It has nothing to do with any of us in this room. Yeah, we're vessels used by Him and we're faithful to be used by Him. But it has nothing to do with us. If I or any of us start taking credit for what God's doing in this church, then we're in trouble. Because this is His church. He's the pastor of this church. It's about Him. Our lives should be about selflessly leading others to Him. seen others drawn to him, not to us. Now, I know sometimes at times the Holy Spirit, as he works through us, people are drawn to us. You saw this in the scriptures, the disciples. We saw it many times that they thought they were gods and were drawn to the disciples. But the thing you always saw with the disciples is they always said, no, it's not about us. It's about him. It's about the Lord. And that's always has to be our response. It always has to be that anything God is doing, it's him and it's never us. Our lives should be selflessly leading others to him. And Paul knows one of the greatest ways that we can do this is by becoming givers. By selflessly giving of ourselves or giving of our resources to help others. When people see this kind of love, when people see this kind of giving, this kind of action, they're drawn to it. They're drawn to it. And again, what is it? It's Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit alive in us. When we're living the life that he's called us to live, people are drawn to it and lives are changed. Are they changed because of Darren? No. Are they changed because of me? No, they're changed because of the Holy Spirit working in and through us. Now, when you look at these scriptures, many of us might look at it and say, well, I don't have a problem with stealing. I'm good. We just kind of skip through this scripture. And maybe we don't have a problem with stealing. I can honestly say I don't feel like that's something, you know, now in my life, I don't struggle a whole lot with stealing. But how do we do with the rest of the verse? Are we working hard? That's a big question right there. A couple years ago, the Lord really challenged me in this area about, am I living a life of complacency? How I just sometimes just get by. Am I working hard? The Bible says to do all things to the glory of the Lord. To work hard at glorifying him and work hard at everything you do. Are we working hard in our jobs? Or as my dad would say, are we hardly working? God's desire is that we would work hard at whatever we do. Are we working hard? Are we giving to others in need? I think one of the things we have to realize is this is really a question about stewardship. How are we stewarding what the Lord gives us? Whether it's money, whether it's gifts or talents, whether it's knowledge, whatever it is, are we being selfish with it and using it for us? Or are we being selfless with it, giving it back to the Lord to bring glory to him? That's his desire for the things that he gives us. Because if we get right down to it, everything we have, everything we've ever been or become is because of him, right? Everything we have is his to begin with. He's given it to us, and he actually trusts us to steward it well. He desires that we would steward it well. You see, the selfish, as the Lord gives, they take and they grab and they pull it back because they don't want to lose it. They've got it. It's theirs. I want it. And they take and they hold tightly. But the selfless, as the Lord puts into their hands, they thank the Lord, but they keep their hands out because they know that the Lord can give. And then also it's his to just take back away when he needs it as well. They leave their hands open saying, Lord, I want to give freely. I love that you give to me in the blessings, and I thank you for that. But Lord, I also know it was never mine to begin with, and if you care to take it back, it's yours as well. That's the selfless life that God calls for us to live. As I was preparing this week and studying this message, my wife had come out from a book that she had been, she was in the room proofreading a book, and it referenced a girl by the name of Katie Davis in it, and she had looked some stuff up on the internet about her and said, oh, Darren, you got to check out this story about this girl. And the story of Katie Davis, maybe some of you have heard of her. She's got a blog titled Kisses from Katie and a ministry in Uganda. It's an amazing ministry. I think she's 22 years old right now, I think. When she graduated from high school at the age of 18, she felt called to go in the mission field. And I know she started by going to Uganda. She had visited there when she was like in high school and felt the Lord calling her back to Uganda. And she went there with the idea of starting a little preschool, a free preschool for Ugandan kids to kind of teach them. Many of them don't have free school and be able to teach there. And she started by just, I'm going to do this little preschool. They were expecting 7 to 8 kids to show up. And on the first day, I think it was 120 or 130 kids showed up for this preschool. Obviously, there was a need. And this girl, it's an amazing story of how she just began to give her life to the Lord to serve over in Uganda. And now she's adopted 14 kids. It's just an amazing story. And on her blog page, there was a video that kind of tells a little bit of her story. And I wanted to just take a moment. I wanted to just have us watch this video. And so just watch this video of this amazing woman, Katie Davis.
I want to ask you to come with me on a journey. A journey that started 3 years ago when I thought I knew what my life would look like. And I had no idea. A journey that has shown me more about the Father's heart and His extravagant compassion than I could have ever imagined. A journey that requires me to give more of myself every single day. It's a journey that took me from a 10-month commitment to teach kindergarten in Uganda to a lifetime commitment of bettering and serving this country. I'm Katie Davis. I'm 21 years old, and I live here in Uganda. I run Amazima Ministries, and my full-time occupation is that I'm a mom to 14 little girls. From an early age, people would always ask me, you know, you'd have like career day, what do you want to be when you grow up type thing, and I had always said I wanted to be Mother Teresa, just because I guess I just loved her heart for children. It is my 16th birthday, and I'm eating sushi at my favorite restaurant when I tell my parents that I'd like to explore the possibility of doing mission work out of high school. I graduate high school having made a commitment to teach at a preschool for a year in the middle of nowhere, Uganda. My parents were so not on board that, you know, it came to a point where it was like, okay, God said, you choose me or you choose to please your dad. What's it going to be? And I said, all right, I'm going back. It is January and I'm looking at a little girl crushed under a brick wall with no one to take care of her and her siblings. I offer to take them home with me until we find a better solution. I'm not really sure what to do with them, but I know that they are God's children. They stay. It is 3 days later, and the littlest one looks up and she calls me Mommy. My heart breaks in two. I have no idea what to do, but something clicks. I'm even more scared than the day that I stepped on that plane, but I know that this is right. Today I have 14. I get a lot of that, like, do you really feel that they're your children? Do you really feel like it's a family? And I say, you come on over for dinner and tell me, because it is. It is our family. People say to me all the time, like, wow, you are so lucky that you found what God wants you to do with your life. And I kind of look at those people and think, like, well, I didn't find it. It was just in the Bible. And so as someone who calls themselves a Christian, I mean, it's very apparent that you are to love the Lord with all your heart, and then you're to love your neighbor as yourself. And like, myself doesn't want to be starving. And so I don't want other people in the world to be starving. Jesus does not ask that we care for the less fortunate. He demands it. When calling ourselves Christ followers, caring for orphans and the desolate and the widow are not an option. It's a requirement. I would like to invite you to come with me on this journey that is so far from over and see what God will do next.
Every time I watch it, I thought after watching enough times I wouldn't get emotional. Amazing story of a young girl who's willing to selflessly give of her life to serve Christ. As I watched this video, I just thought and I wondered if what we're most guilty of stealing from the Lord is ourselves. In our selfishness, we steal ourselves away from the life that God has for us. That He's called us to live a life of selflessness, that's willing to work hard and to care and to reach out and to love those in need. What an example right here on this screen. And like this young girl said in the video, he's not asking. He's not asking us. Ephesians 4:28 says, he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. God's desire is that we would stop stealing, that we would work hard, and that we would give selflessly to those in need. That's God's desire for our life. There's a lot in this scripture, and it's a powerful scripture, and I can't tell you how many times this week I cried as I walked through it, and I thought for sure I'd be done by the time I got up here this week. But it's powerful. God has so much for our lives, and we so often steal it away for ourselves, for what we want, for our desires, when God's saying, no, put off the old and put on the new life of selflessness that I have for you. And is it going to be easy? No. But is it going to be rewarding? Is my blessing going to be upon you? Yes. Amen. Let me just pray. Lord, I come before you this morning and a broken man. Because, Lord, I know my desire is to follow you and to serve you. And I'm doing my best to do it, but I know I fall short at times, Lord. I know there are times in my life where I don't work as hard as I should be working. I know there are times in my life where I don't give as much as I give. There are times in my life where I think too much about myself and I think selfishly, Lord, when you have desired and asked of us to think selflessly, Lord, to put others before ourselves, Lord Jesus, to think of others first. Teach us, Lord, how to be people who live a life of not taking, but a life that gives, Lord Jesus, that faithfully gives in the way that you've called us to live. Lord, I know that this hits home because it's real. It's what you ask of us, Lord. And it's really not asking. It is a command, Lord. You've given us your commandments. You've given us these commands to love you, to love others, Lord Jesus. And your desire now is that as you've given us these commands, that we'd be faithful to do it, Lord. Lord, I'm thankful for the fact that this morning as we took communion, we're reminded that it doesn't matter what we've done from this day back. What matters what we do from this day forward, Lord Jesus. There's no condemnation, Lord Jesus, from you. Your desire is that we would just now say yes to you and begin to put off the old and live this new life that you've called us to live. A life that puts others first, that cares about others, that loves people in a way that draws them to you. Selflessly draws them to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, this looks differently for all of us, but my prayer this morning is that you would meet each of us where we're at, Lord. We're all on a journey. We're all at different places and different parts of that journey, Lord, but you are a God that knows each of us so well. The Word says you even know the numbers of hairs on our head, Lord Jesus. You know us so well. You know right where we're at, and you meet us right where we're at. And Lord, that's my prayer this morning. Just touch us where we're at. Show us, Lord, okay, Lord, how do we stop stealing and start working hard and giving back to you? Giving to those in need, Lord. Teach us how to do this, how to walk this out, Lord. Every day it's a journey, Lord, that we must seek you and seek your will and way for our life, Lord. Help us to do that, though, and to stop seeking our will and way. We give this to you, Lord. Allow this word just to penetrate and work through us this week and challenge us, Lord, as we walk through our week to really think, how do I begin to live this new life? How do I put off the old and live the life that you've called me to live, Lord? Speak into our hearts. Speak into our lives, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you and we just praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.